Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Yes, you have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Today we have a topic that there's no way I would want to touch it by myself, but it's how do you deal with difficult relationships. Now, just hearing that, you're probably, there's about four or five of them already came to your mind. That's the way it is with all of us. We're challenged because we're relational people, and we have challenges with relationship. And in some cases, there's better times in our lives through a season that things are better than other times. And anyway, we're going to discuss that and do help bring this to some light and everything. I've got Duke in the studio with me. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
Is there any encouragement that comes to mind that you hear in the last?
Yes, yeah. And I'll say it was last night at Band of Brothers. You just never know who's going to show up.
Yes.
And we have the new guys that come occasionally. So last night, I'm going to say, was one of those Band of Brothers where there was no sparks, fireworks, you know, kind of, it was a good fellowship, great, robust discussion. I didn't have any special videos or, okay. And I had that feeling like, well, Lord, I hope that what was discussed here tonight touched somebody. And that's part of my prayer when we, when we gather. And here it goes. Here we're ending up, and one of the new guys comes up to me. He says, oh, man. He says, this is exactly what I needed. Actually, I didn't think I would hear that last night.
Yeah.
So the encouragement in that is, you know, after he said that and he was lifted up, and he says, man, I'll see you next week kind of thing. And here I'm thinking it was nothing spectacular, but four or five different men that shared last night, something that one of them said, and a lot of it was having to do with relationships are part of what we're talking about today, struck that man in such a way in his first time that he felt he had gotten exactly what it was that God needed him to receive that night.
Amen. Well, praise God for that sort of thing. And that's something that ends up taking place. We put expectations on ourselves in situations because of bringing the Word of God or trying to enlighten them in a sense where they would be attracted to God and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and to His Word in the Bible. And when we feel that we've been doing it over and over again, it's like anything else, right? It becomes like, okay, I don't know. I'm hoping that, you know.
Yeah, am I bringing good content? Yes, are they going to be like, wow, I can't wait to come next week? Yeah, we're all wired that way. Yeah.
And so often it's as simply as a guy gets together with other men who's maybe never done that and said, wow, I didn't think these guys were like this. I don't know that gathering with other men, they could have this kind of feeling that you pray together, you sing together, you worship together, and you talk together, rather than just talk about work and all the surface things that most men do, right?
And then aside from that, the other new guy, he didn't say a lot when he left, but he did tell me why he was there, that he'd heard about Band of Brothers, and he's currently going through a... He said divorce, but then he corrected himself. So, well, he says it's a separation right now. And then, when you know, of the different guys that spoke last night, one of the guys talked about a marriage relationship and a struggle and the temporary time apart. I mean, it was like he was talking to this guy.
Yeah.
Now, Only I knew that, and so did the listener.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to myself secretly, thank you, Lord, for that word to that man. That's probably what he needed to hear. So then there's the other stuff that happens, Raul, that we don't even know.
Oh, absolutely. And we won't know until we're with Jesus, the impact that takes place and how what we end up sharing or saying or putting together influences other people's lives. You know, it's, such as the way it goes. What was it, Tuesday night? You were there?
Yes.
The one guy, he hadn't been back in 3 years, and he'd been gone, and he started a group himself.
Yeah, he's pastoring.
Well, doing his own thing, but it's similar to what he had learned at the Band of Brothers. And so it's, we never learn, or we can't ever give up, or just, we have to persevere. No matter what, because the enemy's always going to tell you, you don't have to talk to that person now. Or no, you don't need to do this. You don't have to pray for him right now. Just tell him you pray for him instead of praying for him right now. Tell him you pray for him later on.
Yes.
No, you pray for him right now. Anyway, so our encouragement is, brother, persevere through the lies and all of that the enemy throws at you. And you know what? God is powerful, and his word never comes back void. So when it's mentioned, you know that somebody is being struck.
And, you know, I guess along with that encouragement, not to, beat the point up, but I got to tell you, there's been a number of times that I could have gone to a men's gathering when I kind of know I probably should. But there was the, I'm too tired or work beat me up today. Right. I got to tell you, and I know the listeners know this, when you go, it's... Every time you're having that hesitation, when you go, after you're done, you're going, man, I'm glad I went tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad I
got
with them. I'm glad, man, you just got to listen to that little inner voice prompting you.
Well, all the fact is that there is an enemy who's trying to take you away from drawing closer to the Lord. And men gathering in the name of the Lord is powerful, no matter how you look at it and how you imagine it's going to be better than what it was. And God always reminds us after we go, yes, I'm glad you're here. So,
amen.
Anyway,
amen.
So with that, let's just segue right into this thing that you had a thought of, that one of the challenges that we all have, not just men, but men and women, but we talk primarily to men, is about difficult relationships. Now, I'm sure you had to drum up and think a long time about difficult relationships you have, right?
Well, you know, it's whether you're living in the world or you're living for God defines how much that bothers you, I guess, is part of it. But I put together a cheat sheet some time ago that's called What the Bible Indicates About How to Deal with Difficult Relationships, because I would, of course, be asked by men for some scriptural guidance or prayer about a struggle with, let's say, their spouse or their children or a situation at work.
Right.
And oftentimes they would be, okay, what's the Bible say about this? Because that's where we go for all this stuff. So I kind of put this together, and the reason that it kind of jumped out recently is a conversation I had with my pastor. And maybe some of you guys have had that conversation where I know of a couple that doesn't look like there's any chance for reconciliation in their marriage, I guess you'd say. And the proposition came, well, if she never, and the proposition is she's not a believer and he is. If she never turns her heart, he still wants to honor the covenant that he made before God in the marriage. But if her heart never softens, what do you do with that person? Or the one that sins against you, but you still kind of love him. It's kind of like your best friend that says, oh, I'm glad that works for you. But when you're around him, he's, using bad language or, obviously living in the world. And I got to tell you, Raul, there came a time where when I was hanging around those guys, I wasn't comfortable anymore. I mean, I was kind of like, I wasn't laughing at the dirty jokes.
Yep.
And when they would say, F words or whatever, I just didn't want to be around them really anymore.
Yep.
But yet I loved them. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't save everybody. I'm to be an example. What does the Bible say about what am I to, I can only minister so much, I can only encourage so much before the guy says, hey, stop it, I don't want to hear it anymore. Mm-hmm. That fine line. So do you just hold them in prayer, or is God calling you to task in something there?
Yeah.
That's the struggle, the mm-hmm. push with some of it.
And so often, it doesn't matter, all of our relationships at one time or another, they have their peaks and their valleys, you know, where you're actually, things are going well in the relationship, and then all of a sudden things are said, or maybe things are insinuated, or there's disappointment that takes place, and all of a sudden it takes it south, so to speak. And all of a sudden it maybe stays in that direction or stays down there. There's a hurt or of some sort that creates emotion, which will lead sometimes to resentment, okay, of just saying, you know what, here's how I used to deal with it back in the day. And when I say back in the day, that's before Jesus, right, in my
yep.
life, right?
Yeah.
Is I used to just cut people out of my life. I figure, hey, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
If I don't see them. Have you ever been in a grocery store at one time? Or let me just put it this way. I've done this. I've been in a store one time, and I see somebody come around the other end of the aisle coming my direction with their grocery cart. And if I don't want to see them, I'll turn around very quickly and kind of head another direction.
And avoid them, yeah, yeah.
And I know that I'm not alone in that type of thinking, okay? Now, the fact is that I just didn't like living that way. In hindsight, where I'm at today, I'm glad I don't have to avoid people, okay? I'm glad that I've taken care of business at hand to be able to make maybe not a perfect relationship again. Maybe there's been such harm or pain that it's not ever going to be like it was, okay? But it's still doable. It's like you said, hey, I love that person. Matter of fact, I just talked with a brother here the other day who I haven't talked to, and it's been months and months and months, and someone else had mentioned they needed his assistance, and I had sent them to him, and we ended up chatting on the phone. And, of course, we do the thing like everyone else. Hey, let's do lunch sometime. I said, Let's not just talk about it. Let's just do that. Let's just set it up. Can we set that up? And of course, then it went from there. So, but those are the things that are, I think, so important, that being able to live in this life today, instead of avoiding people, that we actually are looking forward to engaging with them. Not meaning that they have to be an A personality, but just the fact that it's okay.
No, it's a struggle when you're trying to live for God and you're living in the world. Mm-hmm. And really, we know that our strength comes from surrounding ourselves with people of like mind.
Yep.
They can share their struggles and their overcomer stories. So, but then there's also scripture that says that we're to stay away from those that are engaged in sin. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to you and I to decide, you know, judgment, condemnation, right. All that. So, like, for example, in all of 1 Corinthians 5 is pretty good, but it ends up saying, but now I'm writing to you so that you do not associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother that's guilty of, and it lists a sexual immorality, greed, an idolater, rivaler, drunkard, swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? It's not inside the church whom, is it not inside the church whom you judge? So it says, purge the evil person among you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's been different times where that idea of water seeks its own level, old temptations, you're hanging with an old buddy, he says, hey, let's go grab a drink. And sometimes I'm worried about being, I guess, tempted back mm-hmm. to that kind of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in one way, it's a little bit of the avoid you talked earlier. There's some people in my life that I know that when I started seeking God, they were not.
Yes.
And so I mean, I didn't say I'm cutting you out of my life, but you know what? I quit associating with them.
Right.
And I'm wondering, did I do the right thing? Isn't God's word say we're to love everyone? And then there's the 70 times 7 that you forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, and then there's the tough love. One of the examples that we had last night at Band of Brothers was family members.
Mm-hmm.
And I've referred to my daughter a few times. So I continue to minister hope and encouragement to my daughter while she lives in the world. But then there's scripture that says, for example, in Hebrews 12:7-11, it says, don't try to rescue them since you may be interfering with God's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so mm-hmm. now what's up? You mean I got to basically kick them to the curb, say, I love you, but mm-hmm. God's discipline needs to take place in your life in a way that I can't deliver it?
Yes.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a big part of why, as believers, you know, it's not so much knowing what the right thing is to do. It is to be able to think of others more highly than ourselves. And it is to be able to bring the light of Jesus into the relationship. But having the right timing is everything. Oh, come on. We've had the best intentions on doing something, but the timing was wrong.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And so how do we figure out what the right timing is for all these situations? Yeah. Well, I think that's where we need to go, our relationship with Jesus ourselves, of going to him in prayer and taking the time to listen to him and to be able to let him speak to us. Okay. He speaks into my heart. It's not an audible voice that I hear. Okay. That would be nice to hear that way, make a lot clearer. But this, otherwise, I've got to be quiet and sense myself and just seeking the Lord quietly so that he can speak to me, so I can hear what it is that he wants in this specific area. And in some cases, he doesn't necessarily, I'm not prompted by anything by being quiet after a period of time. I'm not talking about like 30 seconds or something
right.
like that. I'm talking a period of time. But if that doesn't work, then I go about my day, go about my business. But getting into the Word of God, amazing how sometimes certain things will come up to remind you of what it is that you need to do.
Well, and I guess that's part of the reason I came up with, kind of did this study and how I came up with some of these scriptures. I had come across the ones that said, get out of the way and let God do a work in their life.
Yes.
And it's my daughter.
Yes.
I want to save my daughter. I want to speak the word of God, and I want to be there for encouragement. I want not to beat her up. But the idea of the let go, let God, the turning it over to him, it, even as, once again, I'll use another example. In Romans 5:3-4, it says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love is poured out through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. So it's kind of like, okay, well, am I really serving the ones I love best by allowing God to challenge them so that they build that character mm-hmm. and that endurance? Mm-hmm. Or do I run the risk of them turning away and saying, nah, that he calls himself a God guy, but he's not there? You know, it's the enabling.
Yes.
It's
yes.
that, the tough love. So that's why I went to these scriptures, and I thought, this is hard. Mm-hmm. This is hard to decide where you continue to try and speak some hope and encouragement right. in their lives. And when you know, you just got to get out of the way, because they can't receive it from you. God's got something in mind for them that I find myself trying to have faith and trust in, that he will do the heavy lifting to the result, of course, that I want, which right. is love and saved soul and relationship right. and back in the family. And it's a slippery slope, brother.
Well, it can be. There's no doubt. And there's an awful lot to learn. And both of us, even though we've been on this earth for a while and been engaged with our Lord for a while, we are still just beginners in knowing more of what and how he wants things done. Let's take a break. When we come back from the break, let's continue talking about this, stirring things up in this in relationship. We all have relationship. Is it good? Is it not good? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. We're talking about relationships and dealing with the ones that are challenging. Hey, it's just like dealing with the ones that are really good. It's like, okay, why is it good? Should I not trust this person? And so there's all sorts of things that actually have a bearing on this sort of thing. But I want to bring a point here before we actually carry on. In the book of John, in the Gospel of John, it talks about when Jesus came, okay, that they didn't understand him. They didn't know who he was or what was going to be taking place. But God the Father sent John the Baptist ahead of time to prepare the way for Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. And in John 1, it's a very short, but in John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh, okay, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's powerful. But the key word that I want to be looking at is that he made his dwelling among us. That means that he lives among us and with us. Okay?
Amen.
So that means there's going to be relationship. So my point that I wanted to make is that the best way, I believe, of being able to know what Jesus wants us to and how to live is to read about how he lived. And there's four gospels there that he teaches us. And if we're in the Word, we'll understand. You know, I believe that God, we're all given discernment to a certain level. And I think the more that we ask for discernment, I think he gives to us. Just like he says, if you seek, and then if you ask, and if your motives are right, in a sense, that's my own ad lib type of thing, then I will give, okay? So we have to make sure that we're right with him, okay? And in doing so, we're going to learn how to be able to discern whether I need to say something or not. That's why for me, I end up so often, I pause. That was such a gem that a guy gave me many, many years ago.
Yes.
He says, before you act, before you say anything, before you even give the look that you want to give, right? You pause, Raul. You pause. You ask God, how do I need to act in this? How I'm seeking his assistance. And that might mean that I need to tell the person, you know what? This isn't the right time to talk. Can we talk a little bit later about this? Or can we deal with this later? You know, it's about, you know, given time to reflect and ask the assistance of our God. Okay? Then we're not setting ourselves up thinking, okay, I want to get this over with, get taken care of. You know, unless I'm in connected with the Lord, man, I want to be very, very careful because then I'm in the flesh. And what does it say about my flesh?
Yeah, we're weak.
Yeah, not just weak, and our hearts are evil.
Yes,
and so we have to be very, very aware of that sort of thing. So,
well, you know, when we talk about being examples for others, sharing that joy, the good news of the gospel, you and I know that when you're where you were and where we are now, it's better to be where we are now.
Yes.
But then I've had a couple of experiences with men that have asked for discipleship, but it's been a selfish agenda. That is, they never really would wrap their head around God's sovereign word and what the basic message is. It was more like, what can God do for me? How can my life be better if I believe, you know, kind of that deal.
Right.
And I have found that after a while, if I don't see any fruits from the guy, then I'm reminded of a passage in Matthew 7:6. It says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me says, am I wasting my time?
Mm-hmm.
Am I, okay, well, I'm just a sower of a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found myself a couple of times telling guys that where I've worked with for, let's say, a month or two, and they're looking for the one verse that says, my life is fixed now, and I'm going to heaven kind of stuff, where I found myself feeling like, you know what, I'm a chapter. They need to move on, and I need to get out of the way and let God do some work in them. But at the same time, Raul, I'm thinking like, geez, I hope they don't think I don't have good endurance or that I'm not forgiving enough, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So it is that question about when do you say I can't have that person in my life? I'm being an instrument of God, but I'm not moving them ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's, I think, so important is that, again, to give is to receive, okay? And to give assistance, to be able to give encouragement, to be able to give inspiration, to be able to give love, I have to have it.
To give.
That's
Amen.
Right. And if I don't have it from my Savior, if I don't have it from him, if I have it just because of the flesh, because, hey, look at, I got a check in the mail, I didn't expect it from the IRS, and, you know, my life is better now. That's what creates joy in my life. You know, if I'm of something of the world, all of a sudden some good things happen, my circumstances are really good, and my wife loves me, and she's been showing it really a lot lately, respect me, and so on and so forth. If all of those things like that make me joyous and or happy in a sense, and I try to give something away to somebody else, what am I going to tell them? I mean, really, I hope your wife respects you some more. I think she really needs to do that. I hope that you end up getting something from the government to be able to, you know, some money you didn't expect to come and so on. No, what I am going to give away is what I have received. Okay. So if I'm seeking God and I'm receiving his word that reminds me how much I'm loved and cared for and how important it is for me to continue seeking him, it's like being a miner in a mine shaft. You go in there and I go, well, I don't see any gold anywhere. Well, yeah, that's because you're going to have to do some work.
Work, yes.
Okay? You're going to have to chip away. You're going to end up having to do a lot of sweat and stuff to realize and maybe some dangerous stuff and saying, I don't even know if this is the right direction to go. But the more that you do it, you come to learn. Then you seek others who are doing the same thing. Hey, can you give me any tips on how you know where the gold might be or whatever? You won't have to tell them where your mine shaft is, but you're going to ask them so that they know what you're doing. You know, the fact is, plain and simple, is that I can't give away except just what I have. Okay?
Oh, and to those that would receive it?
That's the other part.
Okay.
Because, see, look at us. Look at myself. I look at my own life. I think back of the time I used to use God's name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to just even turn away from him. And I used to say things to him that I would never wish that anybody ever would say to the Lord. But I did, okay? Because I had such resentment toward him. But it wasn't because of him. It was because of relationships.
Yes.
And I blamed him. And so I didn't think he was ever going to come through. And I turned away from him. And I went into the darkness. And I stayed there for a while. And the fact is that I realized somewhere down the road, because of his love for me, despite my sins, he still died for me. While I was still sinning, he died, okay? And he has forgiven me when I came to him in a repentant heart, okay? Saying, Lord, I need you. So that's the key, is that I need to desire him. So when I go to men, I think when it comes down, when I read things about how revival throughout the, not only the nation at certain times, but throughout the world, it comes from an awareness first that I need something because my life is lacking. And as a result of that, Jesus ends up, his name comes up. I may balk at it for a moment, but I'm going to think about it a little bit later because this guy said something. For God so loved the world, including you, Raul. Okay, that he gave his only son. Okay, anyway, so it goes from there. So all we do is just give a little bit. See, sometimes I have a tendency, and I used to have a tendency of wanting to give it all right away. Boom! So this guy is slammed down and knocked over, right?
Yes.
No, it's about just enough salting the tongue just to be able to do something. And you give somebody a little inkling of what might take place with a relationship with Jesus Christ. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, John 10:10, it says, the thief. Okay, we're talking about the enemy here, right?
Yes.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's all he does. The enemy is not there to be your best friend. He's not there to give you pleasure and so on. So. No, he's there for one reason only, to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? Everyone usually stops right there. But the remaining part of that verse, okay, it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Okay? That's the reason Jesus came.
Yes. Yes.
So that we may have life, to be able to live life and have it to the full, beyond our what we're doing right now, beyond our expectations, because, and it's, you know, our desires, our heart, everything needs to be changed. It really does. And if we were to know how God was going to do that ahead of time, we would probably flee the other direction. So, yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't think I can do that sort of thing. So that's why I think so often it's he gives us, because we seek him, he gives us the discernment to be able to know the right timing and what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said at times. And if I don't know what that is, for whatever reason, if there's a lot of things going on in my life at the moment, and then I'm asked certain questions, I say, can we pause? Can we get together maybe at another time, maybe in about a half an hour, or maybe tomorrow, or whatever that might be? That gives me time to be able to realize that, okay, Lord, what is it that you brought this guy back into my life who, you know, treated me in such a manner, and he wants to talk to me, you know, instead of just, and I couldn't avoid him because he was right there. So, you know, maybe now's the time I need to seek the Lord to be able to receive what this guy has to say to me, or to be able to love him, that Jesus loves him, okay? And that's what it's all about, I believe, is that we sit there and we actually have a relationship with not only other people, but with the Lord, okay? And as a result of that, we're to be the example. They're to see Jesus in us. They have to see something different than the way that we used to be.
Well, and they're not always going to receive it.
No.
I mean, I've been
yep.
confronted with the self-righteous proposal
yes.
because they have a sin they don't want exposed.
Exactly.
Okay? And you do. You find yourself saying, okay, I'm wasting my time with this guy. Or, man, Lord, do I need to work harder?
Mm.
You know, that's that proposition. I think, you know, going to prayer with it, of course, and trying to be a good listener, God, in that particular individual, which mm-hmm. should, you know, usually direct you. Because mm-hmm. there have been people that I thought, you know what, I'm just mucking it up here. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking I'm trying to help them, and they keep giving me the lip service of what they think I want to hear. And it ain't about me. Mm-hmm. It's about I want them to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Raul, there's been times when I've just kind of distanced myself mm-hmm. from that
mm-hmm.
because there was other needs, other people that were genuinely seeking. And I thought, you know what, Lord, you just need to do a work in this guy's heart or whatever. And then later they'll come around. And many of them will say, you know what, when you kicked me to the curb or when you drew that line in the sand, it made me fill in the blank. Yeah. Most of the time, it made them really reflect on what we talked about and think, okay, maybe I should do this.
Yeah.
So sometimes it seems like it's a benefit to say, you know what, I can't have you in my life right now
mm-hmm.
And not have it be a self-righteous event or a not loving event.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and let's come back and let's continue on this sort of thing and what this looks like. I know you've got lots of notes here, but you know what? There's some things that we might need to bring up just to remind you about these relationships that we thought were good now aren't as good. Are they ever going to be the same? Can you ever go back and be the same as it was? We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy.
Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for you.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Lord, light my soul on fire, man. Just keep seeking you, and that's really, I love that song. It's a fairly new one.
It is.
And it's one that I've been, I don't know if the guys are tired of it, but at least every week, one time they're going to hear it anyway, I'd like to think. But that's really what it comes down to is seeking God. And we ourselves have to assure that we are seeking Him, okay? It's so important for us to really keep in mind when we start trying to run someone else's life because they've asked for help, okay, and trying to tell them how they ought to do it is, I think, totally wrong.
I agree.
What it comes down to is that we need to show them from, as a result of our own experiences, how this works and how the Word of God applies with it. Because when those changes have taken place in our life, we're going to look those up. We're going to see of those things like we've talked about the scripture that you've used here that we brought up. These are the things and the reasons that my life is different today because of this relationship with Him. I had a recent, my wife and I were with another couple or having some challenges and a younger couple. And of course, the discussion at the beginning goes of what the challenges are and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, there's a lot of things that are not quite right. They're not connected properly and a lot of miscommunication and everything. But I think it comes down to one thing, and I brought it up yesterday at that time. I said, how's your relationship looking at the guy? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And then he gave his answers. And then I asked her, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to tell you, point blank, they're not where, as they both had said, it's good, but it's not where I'd like it to be. Well, hello, if it's not, maybe that's where we need to go, okay? A lot of this other stuff can be set aside for a moment here. It's not the end of the world if it's not straightened out right now. But what's happened in the meantime, there becomes an impasse because Jesus is not over in the middle of this wedding, of this marriage, rather, okay? And as a result of that, the children are affected. They are affected, and the enemy's having his way in here because of expectations and lack of communication or trust or honesty and so on and so forth. When Jesus is in the midst of things, I'm telling you, when the light is there, there is no darkness, okay? And so we want to put on more light. Man, if you have to, get floodlights. And throw it on there, but the more of Him, the less of the enemy.
Amen. Amen. And I got to say, too, that I don't think there's a one of us that doesn't ponder when we're in the battle, how to end the battle.
Yeah.
How do I want to check this off my list and be done with it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Raul, probably the most enlightening part of this study about how to deal with people difficult relationships as it was, is really it, as I started to search the scriptures on there, one of the very first things I came across was Luke 6, 41 and 42, which says, examine yourself first to see if there's any sin in your life.
Yes.
I wanted to disarm the, Lord, am I being self-righteous here? Mm-hmm. Is it not that I am trying to do the right thing that you've called me to do? But am I come across as judgmental? And you know, as I reflected on that, I thought that, yeah, there was some sin in my life. I don't think any of us would admit that there's not.
Yes.
Okay. But my passion was that what I was experiencing in the relationship was so much of what I had been through.
Yes.
And could see the hope in not having that
yes.
anymore.
Yeah.
So it's a good time of reflection, too, where you go, okay, here I am trying to speak this into somebody else's life. How am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Am I putting God first? There's a scripture, too, I think, here that I was just reading in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. It says, consult God first, as we shouldn't put pleasing people above pleasing God.
Amen.
And that goes to this earlier example, this guy and his wife. He is so much about how can I reconcile and please her, and it's been difficult to get him to see, okay, let God do a work in her. You've got to make your relationship with God, you know, solid first
before
you go on to the other, because you can't help somebody who's disabled if you're disabled yourself,
exactly,
that kind of deal. But again, there's a situation, Raul, where she professes to not want anything to do with it. And so his question is, what do you do with that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so often it's, again, and you had mentioned earlier, I don't know if we were on the air, we were talking in between, where prayer is so powerful, okay? It talks about that, you know, that the prayers of a righteous man, okay, are powerful and effective.
Yes, yes.
So when we are being a righteous man, most guys say, oh, I'm not righteous. Well, that means you're not trying to do this the right thing. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that you're seeking to do God's will in your life and his commands, okay? And what he aspires for us to be like his son, Jesus, okay? What ends up taking place as a result of that, there are changes that take place in our lives. And when those changes take place, when we didn't think we had enough patience for people, all of a sudden we have more patience. When we don't know what words to be able to say, all of a sudden we're given the words to say. When we don't think we have the love to be able to look at somebody in a certain way, we're given the love. When we can't understand people the way that they are, all of a sudden we're given compassion more than what we've had before. It's like, wow, I sense that. I see that. You know, Jesus didn't have to be a prostitute. He didn't have to be a drunkard. He didn't have to be any of these sinful things to have compassion and love for these people.
Of course.
Okay? But he had the compassion because of his love, okay? Because he created them, okay? He says, I know. We look at our kids. How often have we looked at our kids growing up? As our kids are messing up, our grandkids, they sit there and go, oh, man, if I had only said it this way or said it that way, or if I did this or if I did that, okay? You know? The point is that we can't go back and change any of that, because there's sometimes a lot of things that have gone on in the meantime. But we can lead them in a manner today of sitting there and saying, you know what, I might have messed up. What do you mean, Dad? Well, I think I kind of messed up when you were younger. Didn't get into the Word of God with you like I believe it changes my life. It has changed my life. And I think it could have really benefited you early on to being able to do that. That might lead into a discussion with your son or your daughter that is beyond that you couldn't put together yourself. See, there's something about when we share our own weaknesses with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We become vulnerable.
Yes, we do.
But they trust us more. And especially when we recognize the fact that we're seeking God, that we're seeking Jesus, we're trying to make our lives better. I am not perfect, but I'm not deliberately sinning. What do you mean, Dad? Well, I used to do this, but I don't do that. Whatever. Whatever you need to say. But, you know, I know that today all I want is the very best for you. Because, see, this world is going to go away. And we have another life to live. And it's going to be an eternal life. And where we're going to spend it, Well, if you have want to know where that's going to be, how about tomorrow morning we get together for about a half an hour and talk about that?
Yeah.
You know, whatever it takes. Live, our relationships are not, can ever be like they were before. They're not supposed to be, because we're new creations each and every day. So everything is anew to us. It ought to be, because we're asking the Lord to be able to enlighten us and to show us. And he gives us everything that we need to be able to talk with others, to be able to love others, and to be able to understand them and to accept them, you know, without the challenges. We're all learning, man. I'm still learning.
It's a journey.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, and we're not going to be done. And it's not going to be done until we're with Jesus. Just know this, brothers, that no matter what, it's just going to be you and him when he asks you the questions. No one else is going to be side by side with you. So how about you share with our brother, or pray for our brothers today, bro?
Well, here, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time, this sharing. Lord, I pray that what was discussed today, that would strike the hearts and minds of those that listen. They would go to you in prayer for clarity of your word and how it applies to them individually, how they can glorify you in all that they do. In your name, amen.